I'm going to start out with good morning. I have 6 pages and it takes me 10 minutes per page. So how long is that going to be? And now I'm going to try to have to whittle it down a little bit here. But once upon a time, there was a boy named Luke and a father named Ed. And they lived out in the country next to a stream. And out there they had an outhouse. You know what outhouses are? Emily, you know what an outhouse is? See, they don't know what an outhouse is. But it's a porta potty made out of wood, though, or whatever. And it was a two-seater and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, there was this here outhouse out back there. And Luke hated that place. In fact, the reason he hated it so much, it was cold in the wintertime and it still stunk. In the summertime, it was worse because it stunk and it was hot. So Luke thought, somehow I'm going to get rid of that thing. Then there was a day that it rained, and that there was a stream out behind this bank where this outhouse was, there was a stream. I am going to someday push that thing over. So this was a day. It rained. The water came up. He said, this is my day. Yes. So he got a stick or a big pole out of the woods, and he pushed and he pushed and he pushed up at the E-Vary because you can't do it down. You got it. And finally it went over. Yes, I did it. That night at supper time, Dad said, we're going to go out behind the woodshed. Uh-oh, I know what that means. That's spanking time. But why, Dad? Well, did you push that outhouse over? Yes, Dad, I did. Well, but Dad, in school the other day, George Washington cut down this tree, and because of his honesty, he didn't get punished for it. But Dad says, Ed said, but there was no one in the tree. Okay. That's my starter. So now we can kind of laugh. I can kind of get over our emotions here a bit. Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O Lord, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We've been studying in Philippians a little bit. And Paul wrote in Philippians 1, I thank God for every remembrance of you, always in prayer and in my making requests for you with all joy, and he who hath begun a good work in you will continue. That was in Sunday school class. Well, how do you spell church? Natalie, how do you spell church? Okay, now when you take the U-R out of it, what does it mean? So church means more when you are in it. What would church be like if no one was here? And Paul, when he was in prison, says he loved this church. He loved his church. It was a young church, the Philippian church. They had kind of started. And it's good to hear from you guys. You're fellowshipping together. Don't worry about me. Everything's going okay. Don't worry about me. But I'm really thankful for the way you guys are hanging in there. I'm saying thanks for coming to this church this morning. Now, another thing I wanted to ask, why did you even come? Oh, it's past appreciation. I better go to church, okay? But that's just what we do on Sundays. We just go to church. That's just what we do. Okay, and we've all been in that area. But church is boring. I've been there. I've said that. I don't get anything out of it. Okay. But if you think it's boring, then what'd you put into it? What'd you do last night? I'm tired. I'm sleeping. I can't stay awake. Well, you're out till midnight. No wonder. Or maybe adults, we were busy in the field. Midnight came, we shut the clocks off, we went to bed. But we start sleeping in church because we can't stay awake. We didn't prepare ourselves. I'm just talking on the physical side of things. I can remember Lindsay. I had to pick on my grandkids just a little bit. Maybe she's doing it now. I don't know. But when Pastor Joey was preaching, She was writing little notes down in her book. That's one help that won't be so boring. And maybe you'll throw that piece of paper away after she's done, but she was paying attention. So that's take some notes maybe. Or you want to know something else? Sit over here, young people back there. You'll get more out of a message if you sit right up front, seats. I guarantee you, I've been there. And you know something? In that back benches back there, I have to tell you a little story about me. Back benches is no place to sit as you, especially on a Sunday night. Because you know what? I had a flashlight. And that flashlight, I shined it in my nose with the next to a friend beside me that it was Bruce Martin, by the way, Kim, your uncle. And we were young. I was 12 years old or whatever it was. And we were shining in our nose because church was boring. And we shine in our nose. And then the pastor says, would everybody stand up and turn around and look at those guys back there? And Bruce had the flashlight they handed to me. Now what am I supposed to do? I had to show that flashlight what I was doing with it. That's what happens in the back row. I'm serious. You wouldn't be doing it up here. So that was a lesson to me. When I got home, Dad didn't even have to spank me. He said, that was a good lesson for you. Church is more than just a message and songs. Pastor Joey, when he gets done preaching, what does he say? Church is not over with yet. It's that mingling back and forth that means a lot. I want to tell you, every one of you guys here, sitting here, have a special spot in my life. And the reason I'm saying that is, I can remember back many years ago when we lost our son. Remember Rosie Seismer, Nelson Martin? And maybe Melissa might remember her. She wasn't the most intelligent person in church, but she was a helper in this one class. And our son died right after Father's Day. And I had my hand, apparently he took my handprint at one Sunday before church for Father's Day, and then his handprint was right in it. And she handed it to me afterwards. I have a special spot in her life, my life, just because of what she did there. Otherwise, it wasn't there. But she handed that to me. That I'll never forget that. That's back 35, 40 years ago. That was Rosie Seismer. So that's what I'm saying. Every one of you sitting here, I have a little special spot in my heart for you. Now that's church. Now teachers, you have a big part in this church, whether you like it or not. It's huge. I think you have the biggest mission in this church. Sorry, Ed. Sorry, Pastor Joey. But I think they have the biggest mission. You know why? They're getting them off to a start. And that's huge. That is huge. Then it goes on to the youth class. Ed is trying to keep them for the challenges that are on into life, what to face with and how to hang in there, how to be strong, how to endure that. That's huge too. But teachers, don't take that for granted. I know many times we sit, oh man, I got Sunday school class here. I don't know if the kids are going to get anything out of it. I think they get more out of what you think. My wife, I have to pick on her a little bit. You know, Kyle, she had Sunday school class with him. And he's come back now. He's 21 years old. And he's told her, says, the best church time for me was Sunday school class and you as a teacher and Bible school and all that. That was the biggest thing in his life, was that start. So teachers, that's huge. So don't take it for granted. Study and just, I know it's a burden, but study and do that for him. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from you. Now, this training thing, it's not only teachers now, it's every one of you sitting here. Even the younger ones, they can train me too on some things. Okay. Church, in order for a pastor to fulfill the Lord's calling to feed the flock, you better show up for feeding time. You ever think about it? It's feeding time. You better show up here. It's feeding time. I just saw that out there. But, and if the pastor's standing up here preaching, and if he's preaching on the word of God, preaching what it says in here, you know sometimes it's going to hurt. And you're going to say, ouch. Why did he even touch on that type of thing for? You probably needed it. We as people don't like to be accused of being a sinner, or that we got problems. We don't like that. So the truth kind of hurts. Think of the rich young ruler. He said, what must I do? He went up to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life, have eternal life? Now, this rich young ruler, I picture him as being a good guy, and he made money, but I don't think he stole it. I think he had it recently. Maybe he went to church. I don't know what all was with him, but I'm assuming that's probably what it was. But he was so rich that what Jesus tell him, sell what you have and give to the poor. Then you can enter, enter the kingdom of God. I think that's what it was, or have it, whatever. But his love for money was greater than his love for God. And he went, the truth hurt, and he left. Now, in church, if you go a little bit later on in Philippians there, Paul said, beware of certain people in church who stir up trouble. This is church stuff. But Paul warned him. He said, there's going to be people out there that's going to stir up trouble. And there's going to be some people that are going to complain. There's some people that are going to criticize. There's going to be some people that leave because they were hurt. But before you complain, and before you criticize, and before you leave, how much did you pray? How much did you pray? What did you put into it? A person's most beautiful asset is not a head full of knowledge, but it's a heart full of love and a hand willing to help others. That's page 3 now. Okay, now, Ed and D, I got to do a little bit here on this. That was press appreciation. Now, I was just warning you as a church people now, but okay. Ed and D, youth, you've got it made. I don't think there's a youth group in this state, maybe I can go a little further than that, that are blessed to have somebody open up at home and every Wednesday night, and they feed you. Well, okay, I look at Luke, but the rest of you. They feed you, because they have to feed him, that's his son. But they feed you, and then, like was said already, there's a lot of phone calls that come later on, maybe midnight calls, can you help me out? That's their job. But you know something? You guys are blessed to have them do that. And they're out there wanting, Ed and Dee have been in the situations where they got in the wrong side of things. They know what it's like to live in the bar side of things, I'll just say it that way, on the pool table, whatever. I remember that's Ed's testimony. And they don't want you to get in the same position that they were in. That's why they're so concerned about you. Now, well, you know what I'm going to tell you? Don't let them down. Don't let them down. Thanks, Ed and Dee. Now, Pastor Joey, looking at the year, kind of COVID kind of got all started, but I think this is probably his hardest year since he's been pastor. Just as my feeling, my observation, Joey doesn't preach to please the crowd. I'll guarantee you that. But he preaches the word seasoned with love and seasoned with concern, seasoned with care. That's the way he preaches. And one other thing, our pastor's a prayer warrior with his wife. She's right there behind him. You know why I say that? I don't know if he's doing it today, but earlier days, I caught him walking down the benches. Here's where Ed is. Here's where Scott is here, Wade. And he was praying for you as he walked down those benches. So you're getting prayed for. Now, as individuals, what are you full of? What are you full of? When I was in school, they used the term, you're full of baloney. Huh? I've heard that. Maybe they don't talk like that in school anymore. I don't know. Or you're full of beeswax. I've seen that heard said before. Or you're full of beans. And the King James Version, you're full of dung. But other people say it a little bit different. I won't say that front here. One time someone came up to me and said, and this was in church, he said, Cal, I see what you're made of. I see what you're made of. Boy, I thought about it. I still think about that off and on, especially when I see that guy. And it was over a business deal. And it's in church. We were in church together. It was over a business deal. And we agreed upon this thing. And he said, Cal, that's not right. after it was all agreed on and things was all done. That's not right. And I just said, well, that's what we agreed on, and kind of on and on. It was in church, and I says, you know something? You can think what you want, do what you want. I don't care. But I said, this is not the time to talk about this type of thing. But he did say, I know what you're made of. I see what you're made of. Boy, I thought the same thing back at him too, but I didn't tell him that. But what are we made of? In Ephesians 3, 4, Paul's preaching again here yet, said, for this reason I bow my knees in to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, which he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints all that what is the width and length and depth and height, to know that the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. You know, there's something about in here, inside here. And you can't, all the doctors, they can't cut it out and say, oh, this is where that little, your personality is, or whatever you want to say. You can't find it. But out of this here little box in here, little whatever you got in there, things come out. And that you might be filled with the fullness of God. It doesn't say teaspoonfuls. It doesn't say seasoned. It doesn't say sugared. But then I was thinking, well, how does this all work? The inner man thing. It's kind of like a regulator. It's kind of like your personality. And I had to think of, I never heard this before, but you remember when a you guys that are military stuff, you probably understand this, when a jet goes down and gets all the, terrible destruction. Can't even see anything about it. You don't even know the right wing from the left wing. But where's that black box? Where's that black box? That'll tell us what all happened. You want to find that black box. That's what tells all the information, what happened in that plane and all that stuff. That's kind of the same thing what's going on in here. You got that little black box in here. And the only way that knows what's going on is between God and you. But out of that black box, we see what's happening too. Because Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you feed yourself, what you dwell on, it's maybe don't come out today, but eventually, it's going to come out. Ever had an exciting day? And you go to bed, exciting about what's going to happen tomorrow. I just can't wait. You go to bed at night, and you wake up, and during the night maybe, wow. And you're feeding yourself on this thing that's going to happen tomorrow. You wake up with it. You're concentrating. You're meditating on it. And you just can't sleep. It's got to be in here. Something's going on because you're dwelling on it. And so what goes in, you thought about all this, what goes in is going to come out. I was working at a meat market. Super nice people. When I was a teenager, just graduated from school. And there was a lot of words said in that place. We worked hard at that place, but we had fun. But a lot of words were said. I mean, the four-letter words and that. In a nice way he was. He just didn't do it just because. But it was in nice ways. But you know something? When I heard that so many times, eventually I said it. And I'm not a swearer. I don't care how strong a Christian you are. And Jim, is he here? He was here, I thought. Jim Thompson? Anyway, I pity you working where you're at in some of them cases. That's hard work. I don't care how strong a Christian you are. If you dwell in that long enough, it's going to come out sometimes. I don't care. It's going to. It's just the way it is. Okay. Watch your music. Watch your movies. Watch your Facebook stuff. Hey, guys, I'm serious. I do a lot of listening to music on a radio. Of course, it's WWAB. I turn on that music. But sometimes I'll flip it over to wax. And some of them, I can't believe the words they use in some of that stuff. Just think about the word. I'm not going to dwell on that because I don't have time for one thing. But just think about it. What goes in is going to come out. Just the way it works. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10:15, it says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you think unruly thoughts, take it to Jesus. Sometimes you're going to be thinking about these things because you're faced with it in your work or on Facebook or whatever. All these type of things. Suicides, for example, they're meditated. That isn't all of a sudden, I feel like I'm going to kill myself. It doesn't happen overnight, just that quick. They thought about this and thought about it because what went in, what eventually coming out, now I'm going to do it. And that's the same thing with the shootings that are going on out there and all that. It's premeditated. It's thought through. How are we going to do it? How are we going to plan? Eventually you do it and don't even, probably no even remorse for it because you dwell on it so much. If you're constantly critical of others, it's going to show up in your words or in your actions. If you feed on impure materials and pictures and books, if your heart, okay, there's another. We talked about money in Sunday school class a little bit. If your heart is set on making money, and that's going to be all your talk is. If that's what your heart is, make money, that's all you're going to talk about. If your heart is set on, I'm sorry guys, if your heart is set on hunting and fishing and sports and all that kind of stuff, if that's all you can talk about, it's okay stuff, but that's all you can talk about, it's not that good. We need to fill ourselves with other stuff because what you feed in your mind is going to come out. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that walketh and trusteth in him. The Bible doesn't say, get it all. Start by tasting. Start by seeing. And meditate on those type of things. And grow in that type of thing. Now getting back to the fullness of God. How do I know and do others know that I have the fullness of God in me? What's in my heart? How do they know what's going on? Because they can't see what's in this little black box in here or whatever you want to call it. They can't see that, but what comes out is what they're judging you on. It's the love you have, the joy you have, the peace you have, the meekness you have, the temperance you have, gentleness you have, all that type of thing. That's the fruits. That's what I hope you're full of. And if you're full of that type of thing, it's going to come out. Amen? Now, talking about fill my cup. You sing that song, fill my cup, Lord. You know something? It takes so much filling just to maintain your Christian life. I'm talking about just to maintain. We'll say it's half a cup. Just to maintain your goodness and all that type of thing. But when you fill it up a little fuller, then I'm going to say the spiritual adrenaline comes out of that. And I had to think of Paul and John. We ought to obey God rather than men. That wasn't their natural way of saying things. They had to be filled with something in order to get that. And it had to come out of the abundance part of it. It wasn't just the maintaining thing. It had to come out of the abundance part to get to have the guts to say that type of thing. And we must but speak the things that we have seen and heard. They knew the outcome it could be. They could be in prison and all that, but we got to speak what we've seen and heard. David and Goliath, that took guts for him to meet this giant. And he says, you know something, buddy? You come to me with swords and that, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God. His cup wasn't half full when he said that. Yeah, I think it was full. I can do it. Am I right? You can't just maintain. We got to do more than maintain. So if these type of things come up, we can dish into that and go for it. I'm getting there. Jesus, he had spiritual adrenaline too. Especially when he was in a temple. That don't sound like Jesus, does it really? But he went in there and cast all the money changers away, tipped them over and says, you have made my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made a den of thieves. Now choosing. In life, we have to choose things. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Take that verse with you. It doesn't say you won't sin, but I might not. It might be that prevent you from getting into certain sins. In Timothy 4:12, I think we had that in Sunday school class this morning, right? I think it was in Sunday school class. You guys, each one of you here, I'm going to talk to youth. You guys are special. You don't think you have any part in this church, but you are special. I want you to know that. God loves you, and he chose you. You are a chosen person. Billy Graham said, I work for God. I could have campaigned for presidency, but that would be a demotion. Instead of a promotion, it'd be a demotion. I work for God. But what you're watching, what you're seeing, what music you listen to, what's on Facebook. But he said, well, Papa Cal, you're old, and that's what people do nowadays. But that doesn't make it right. I'm sorry, because God's word never changes. I want you to look at your cup. How full is it? And what is in that cup? You know what's right and wrong. You know that. And if it's, how many times you as young people, and I put myself, I've been there, don't tell mom that. Don't tell dad that. You know it's wrong, but don't tell anybody. Then it must be wrong. It must be wrong. That's one gauge. I just pray that you might have the adrenaline to say no. Dig in that box of yours and say no, to stand up for what's right. I don't know if Bryson's here, but I'm gonna break him up just a little bit. Is he here? I was going to ask him beforehand. Thanks for being here, Joe Bryson. But I heard this, and I don't know if it didn't come from him, but at his football games, I heard that him and Julian prayed before the games. Am I right with that, Bryson? You know what? That's in a public school, and those two stood out. We're going to pray before every game. That was the adrenaline he had. We're going to do this. And he stood out with that. Bless your heart for that. That's an encouragement to me. And then I think he went to one of the games here not too long ago. Well, here's Bryson. We better pray. They didn't knock him for what he said or did. They looked up to him. But he had the courage to say, we're going to pray before these games. And that takes guts. When I went to school, I didn't want anybody to know that I was a Christian. I kind of hid it. So what are you made of? Is it love, joy, and all that stuff? If you see your brother falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. And now, young people, you have a lot of friends. I'm going to pick on you just a little bit right now. And you have friends. And this could even be coming out of church. There might be some things going on that maybe even your close friend radioed something to you or picture to you that wasn't really the right thing to see. Yeah, it can come out of church. How are you dealing with that as people? You know something? You owe it to them and say, that's not right. There's one more person in the Bible. I've got a couple minutes here yet. I'm sorry, guys. One person in the Bible, Abraham and Isaac. God asked Abraham to offer up his son Isaac. And this was a journey that didn't take only one day. I think it was a three-day journey. And there was, and as they were going, his son says, but Dad, where is the lamb? We always take a lamb. What do you say? God will provide. I'm going to say that was a day before they finally hit the spot. Anyway, Isaac, them last steps were really hard as he was walking. God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. I think the tears started kind of coming because what's happening here, God? And they went and put him on the altar. Son, and I think when he got them all strapped on and it's still in his mind, God will provide.
God will provide. And he went and looked at his son and looked in his eyes and says, son, God will provide. As he lifted that sword up, I think he was still saying, God's going to provide. God's going to provide. And he was ready to come down with it. God's going to... Abraham, now I know what you're made of. I know what you're made of. And I think if as we go throughout life, God will provide. Take that with you today. God will provide. And in order to get to that point, you have to fill this cup with something. You have to fill, or otherwise you don't have the guts to say that. You need to fill that up. And if we go through tough times, talking about God will provide, God will see you through those times. If you got that cup full, if you're feeding on him, if you're meditating on him and all that, he will see, bring you through those times. And you know something? God might even carry you at times. But I'll guarantee you, he'll walk before you, or else he'll walk beside you and say, let's go. That's our God. Now I want to say, God bless you. And you know something? That's kind of a nice way to close things. But, and that's the way we do on Christmas cards, God bless you. I got to tell you a little something about my God blessing situation. I had a brother-in-law who was dying of cancer, and he would wanted me to take us, we offered to take him to Madison, to Enos Yoder, take him to Madison. We had a van that could, he could lay down in and sleep and rest. And anyway, when it, make a strong story short here, after it was all over with, we had to wheel him around. He was very weak, and he got up in his got up in the back seat, and he said, "Cal, I don't have no money to give you. I can't. All I can say is God bless you. God's gonna have to do the work. God bless you." And that's what I'm gonna say to you guys today. God bless you. Now we got. There's a special prayer that's meaningful to me. Some of you have never heard it, but some of you that I want you to hear right now. And Ed and Christy is in the Crystal is in the picture, and my dad's going to pray for you.
But don't underestimate God. God can do far above that what you're able to even think. But he's prepared a place for each one of us. And eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for those that love him. What a moment that we're together as a church on this day. Now, I know there's a tendency to, well, I'm tired today, and there's, don't miss church. Look what's happened because of your willingness to serve the Lord, and look what's happened. I want to close a prayer for your blessings upon you. And I will get the bigger blessing. They that feared the Lord spake often one to one another, and were to do that, and then much more so as we see the day approaching. So I trusting that we'll go home with a lot of prayer thinking. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, what a moment you have brought to us, each one of us here this day. When we think of little ones up to my age, Father, how great thou art. And look at what a family reunion we can have forever and ever. Look how your word is spread amongst us here. And we have room for children, adults, in between. How great thou art. It certainly shows what it can do when people are willing to serve the Lord. So we pray for each one of us as an individual that when we start this day and finish this day, we will finish it in the fear of the Lord, and the blessings will follow. Thank you for I being able to know you all these years, and what a blessing it's been to be here with you. Go home, Father, with safety for each one of us, and remember, we're one day closer to the Lord. Thank you for what all you've done for us. I want to dismiss you all in the fear of the Lord. Drive safely. Lord willing, we'll meet again in another week. Lord bless you. Amen.